Lord, it's a good crowd, dear Heavenly Father. A lot here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, they've come to hear the word, dear Lord. They've come to give you praise and glory, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I just ask that you would be here with us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, allow your spirit to run free through the service. Dear Lord, we'll give you praise and glory for it all. Dear Lord, I love you. I praise you, dear Lord. I just pray that you would remember each and every one that's bowed in your presence. Allow us to have a spiritual service, Lord, that will give you honor. Lord, just allow us, as Robbie always says, to get out of the way so we can see your way. Dear Lord, bless this service. All is bowed in thy presence. And we'll give you honor and glory for it all. For it's in Christ's name, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. And amen. Amen. Anybody have a witness for the Lord this evening? He's been very good to me today, I'll tell you that. Got to see a lot of people. You work with people for 17 years and on a daily basis, and then you don't see them every day. You miss them. You really do. It's good to be up there. It was a good day. It was all a good day. Beautiful day. Don't know if you looked up at the clouds. I heard Charlie's grandson did. It's what I'd heard, and that makes me pretty happy. That's pretty awesome, because I didn't get to hear his message or his testimony or ever how it came out this morning, but I heard it at Kip. You hear Kip? I heard it was a good one. I heard I missed a good one. So Al already filled me in that I missed a good one. But that's pretty awesome, though. That's pretty awesome. Someone with a testimony. Amen. Y'all, bless you, Phil. Bless you, buddy. Me too. Bless you. Bless him, Lord. Yeah, bless you, buddy. Amen. And you and I were talking this morning about raising kids and how we should raise our kids. Charlotte's been out of town for a couple of days, and I just looked down and felt sorry for them. They invited me over for supper yesterday. We ate out on the deck, and all the kids were there. And Jennifer said, "Who wants to say grace?" And Briar said grace.
Amen.
Now, that was great.
Amen.
You know, there she is getting ready to go in the second grade. She can say a prayer.
Amen.
And we're afraid to speak up.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Bless you.
And then the little girl, she said a prayer too.
Yeah.
Little girl.
Amen.
Probably me. I didn't hear all of it, but it's probably part of the problem.
Bless you, Phil.
She tried to include everybody. And I'm glad Christ included me.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you, Phil. That'll make a pawpaw feel like he can whoop three demons. You know that right there? Now, I ain't kidding you. That'll bring you up. If that don't light you fire, you wood. You ain't got no wood. You might want to go pick some up. Go to Walmart, pick some up. You need some wood. Go somewhere. But that's good right there. Amen. Someone else with a testimony. Amen. Bless you, Joe. Bless your heart. Yeah. Bless you, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Bless you, Joe. Bless you, Joe. Bless you, Joe. Bless you, Joe. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Joe. 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 Amen. Bless you, Joe. Amen. Amen. Someone else. Bless you, Donnie. Bless you, Don. Amen. Bless you, Don. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I forgot to mention, but if this is your first time here, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you're in your Father's house. You just put your feet under His table. But, someone else with a testimony.
This whole world
bless you,
is
buddy.
Full of pain,
bless him, Lord.
And misery.
Bless you, buddy.
And sometimes Satan,
amen,
he stands and lashes out at me. But with Jesus by my side,
bless you.
It's so peaceful in the arms of
Someone else.
Hallelujah.
Got to drill on Saturday, and I want to share this with you. A guy, as soon as I got there, his name's Ron, a Christian fella. And he said, I want to tell you about a miracle. I said, well, I want to hear it. And he said, and I don't know the exact details, but I'm going to hit you with the miracle. He said, a friend of his wife, anyway, they heard about this. I think it was at their church. But husband got to work. He was trying to get back a hold of his wife. It might have been around 10 or 11 o'clock, probably around about 9 or 10, something like that. And no answer at the house. He got worried. And he kept calling and calling, nothing, no answer. Got a hold of, I believe, as he told me the story, I believe he said it was either his mother or his mother-in-law, and said, I can't get a hold of the wife, don't remember her name. And this is up in Clarksburg. And the mother said, well, she should be up and going. Couldn't get a hold of her. Finally, they were close enough community, had the neighbor's number, and called the neighbor and said, hey, really kind of worried about, could you go and check? Now, this is a young couple, had a baby probably about 8 or 9, 10 months old, I believe is what he said. If I'm saying it wrong, Lord, forgive me, but that's how I understood it. And neighbor went over and knocked on the door, no answer. Finally had to call him and say, I'm really having to rack on this door. And I'm not getting an answer. Finally, she came to the door. Carbon monoxide almost took him out of the world. Now you think of that. I don't know how. He didn't know the details of that. But when she got to the door, she had made it to the door. And automatically he got her out, went back in, got the baby out, called 911, went to the hospital, kept the baby a couple nights, make sure there was no ill effects, and there was none. So that's a miracle, and I believe it wholeheartedly. So praise the Lord for that, if nothing else. Someone else. Bless you, buddy. Amen. Bless you, Jim. Bless him, Lord.
Me and my buddy had an old 56-year-old lady. Took her. He stayed there. Slept in the car downtown. I told him, I said, you want to sleep in the front seat? I'm going to sleep in the back before I can stretch out. And every time it gets cold, we start that motor up a little bit. But you know what? The next morning,
that's Jim.
The
blessing will
work. I wasn't saved then.
Yeah.
That's how God works. He knew what was going to happen later on. Mm-hmm.
Bless you, Jim.
But we got out of the car, and as soon as I got out, it was there. Well, I was ready to hit the ground. Mm. And he grabbed me. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know." But when you said that a while ago, I've been another 10 minutes and I would be here.
Bless you, Jim. Yeah.
Because of that car. Which kid, we didn't think about that
stuff. Sure.
But that's how God works. He's good all the time.
He watches over us, doesn't he? Amen.
That's the message they're with us that I can give him thanks for.
Amen. He keeps us close.
He knows what we need.
Amen.
When we need it, even before we knew him.
Right.
And he loves us before we need him more. So.
Amen.
Amen. But that was, as kids, what teenagers or whatever it was. Well, it was in school. Mm-hmm. They had that old car.
He's good.
Just had to pay you enough for what he does.
Right.
Yeah.
It takes so much for granted. Yeah. We just go through every day. Come short of the mark just every day. Before you just, I'm ashamed of myself.
Bless you, Jesus.
And then you feel like, you get down so low sometimes, lower in a snake's belly in a wagon wheel. And I'll tell you what, John can get you out there.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can.
Lord. He does. He's done it, as you said this morning. He trout fishing. He didn't buffer to get saved.
Bless you, Jim.
And it wasn't even over mine. Mm-hmm. But he just come by fishing. I got caught.
Yeah.
That's how he knew from that time in that car from that day, April 16, 1978. And there was a daytime and a place to take him right to it. Next day on a Monday, I got sick. I got my liver on a trout.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God, all that happened. And Coach Stone, which is my adopted dad, he always told me, the two older girls, said, "Can you go to the Sunday school? Can you take him to Sunday school today or whatever?" I said, "No, Coach, but someday I will." And that, he always tried, never preached to me, never said, "Well, come on, let's go," or nothing. He just took me under his wing.
Yeah.
Just like our Heavenly Father.
Bless you, Jim.
And he's the one that led me to the Lord. And, because I wouldn't even, he knows about the traffic. He said, "Would you drive me up there and forth?" And you know what? God knew all about it.
Yeah, he did.
For his traveling grace, he gave us back and forth, and I went to Hardy County 1,000 times. And that's 220 miles one way. And all the travel grace in 37 years I was up in Central up there. And I had to drop it up there in all them years. That's how good God is, folks.
He's good.
Amen.
He's great.
You can talk to him anywhere as long as it is. In the car, anywhere you want to. And I just want to thank you. And remember the kids in prayer. And why do you feel a lot better tonight? She's here. So
bless you,
thank you for your prayer today, church.
Amen.
And we can't do it without it. Just people come.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessing.
Those shut-ins that want to be here and want to know the man's affliction. Our country, president, our families, our neighbors. Yes, right. God knows all about it.
Sure.
We have to bring it to him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Said, "Lord, I've given it to you. It's your problem now. You take care of it."
Amen.
In
Amen.
Your time.
Amen.
In your time. We want it now, most of the time. I've learned. I don't
Thank you
for your service.
Bless you, bud.
Appreciate what you're doing.
Bless your heart.
And I thank God for what he's done, doing, and going to do. And I ask him for spiritual wisdom, insight, knowledge, encouragement, and guidance through every day. That I can encourage somebody else, not be a hindrance to anybody, and try to encourage everybody. And nobody telling everybody what God can do for them.
Amen.
And I planted the seed, and I told them I did my part. And the ones that are lost, that's their decision. And we just pray for them like my kids. Our kids, just remember them in prayer.
Amen.
Lord willing, they'll be in here. And
bless you,
Jesus. I believe it. I got that much faith.
That's right.
But that's a desire of my heart. And I got to keep looking straight.
Bless him, Lord.
Because if I get off track, I'll keep looking straight if it happens sooner than I think.
Amen.
Just remember our kids, okay?
Amen. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. Someone else with a prayer request. Bless you, Kim.
Hunter and Haley went to Tennessee to visit her mom and grandparents over the weekend. And they're actually traveling back home right now. I just asked for traveling mercies for Hunter and Haley.
Traveling mercies for Hunter and Haley.
Yeah, and my best friend's husband is traveling back from here to South Carolina as we speak.
Traveling mercies.
Travel mercy for Bob.
Traveling mercies for Bob. Amen. Amen. Someone else with a prayer request.
I still want you to remember my neighbor, Kathy. They said they're starting to see a little bit of improvement. It's not a whole lot. They said it's going to take a long time for her to get through the problem she's got. And I also want to remember my lost family.
Kathy and your lost family. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Tim left the number Jeff Fisher.
Yes. Now, Bo's mother-in-law, her name is Joyce Carpenter.
Lou
Carpenter. I'm sorry.
Louise.
Okay, Louise Carpenter. Lou Carpenter. And she's at Hubbard House. And also Jeff Fisher's wife, Teresa. Teresa Fisher. Teresa's not very old, is she? She's not very old. So remember that family. Remember both those families. If you're wondering why I'm trying to repeat that, sometimes people don't hear it, and it's important. It's important.
So, remember us if you were late, and before I left home this evening, I got a call. Our piano player and her husband was up Summersville at a reunion today, and another guy close to her was getting ready to fall, and she tried to catch him, and she fell on concrete, and they were asking her for an x-ray or for a broken hip. So please, if you would remember me.
Junior, what's her name?
Peggy
Ramsey. Do you remember Junior's family and Peggy Ramsey? Janet Fisher and Regina Fisher. Amen. Remember those families. Someone else.
Lester and Gail come in this morning, and they had Miss Fields. I know that a lot of people probably know who I'm talking about. It used to be Becky Fields. She was here too, with her mom. And she has dementia. And just remember that family, because that's really tough when you.
Yeah. Becky Fields and her family.
Yeah, and I can't remember Bob Fields.
And Bob.
That's her pastor. He was a pastor.
He was a preacher.
Yeah, he passed.
Oh,
Amen.
It's always good to see somebody.
Amen.
Haven't seen in a while.
Someone else?
Yeah.
Yes. Say her name again, Tammy Willard. Tammy Willer. Tammy Willer. Tammy Willer.
That's the one who talks to
you. I got you. Someone else.
Tim, remember my friend Jeff Hodaker? He's my age, and he'll have the open heart surgery in a couple weeks.
Jeff Hodaker. He has the same type of thing that Jimmy's got on his heart. Is that right, Jimmy? Jeff Hodaker.
And Ben, remember the Burdette family? Tommy Jr. had a liver transplant yesterday morning, and his dad needed one real bad. So remember that family.
Remember the Burdette family. Amen. Amen.
Remember Dakota? He went away for 2 weeks for military, so just remember him for safety.
Amen. Steve's gone. Dakota's gone. Going for just a little bit, but pray that the Lord will keep him safe. The Lord will keep him safe.
Remember my son Randy and some friends of his in Canada.
Amen. Remember Randy in Canada with his friends. Bless him, Lord. Remember
Randy.
Sure,
remember the family in Texas.
Yes. Unbelievable. Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Remember the families in Chicago and Texas and Ohio.
Hey, I had lunch today with Rich Slater. You all probably know Judy hasn't been here for a while.
Right.
And I was asking him how she was doing, and it does not sound very good. He was telling me that she usually, when she gets up in the morning, she's just so tired. I guess that sclerosis of the liver that she has has just really taken a toll on her body. They did a test, I think he said last week, where they went down with a camera to see if there was additional bleeding. She continues to lose blood.
Right.
Has to have blood transfusions. She goes through a lot.
Yes.
And she has to go up to the cancer center like every couple of weeks and have those infusions. So if you all would keep her in your prayers, and if you think about it this week, send her a card.
Yes.
She's pretty much confined to the house. She could go and do whatever she wanted to do, he said, but she just doesn't have the energy to do it, and they really don't know. She's been to Duke several times, but they just really don't know where the bleeding's coming from.
Right.
So keep Judy in your prayers. I miss seeing her here.
Sure.
I miss looking across there and seeing her all day out with her jewelry. And,
yes.
You know, pretty lady, and I really do miss seeing her, and I've been remiss and not keeping up with her also, but if you would, maybe this week, if you had the time, send her a card of encouragement.
Amen.
I know that the church misses her.
Amen. Remember Judy Slater, and if you have a chance, send her a card. She's a lot sicker than a lot of people know.
She is.
And she needs our prayers is what she needs.
And pretty much has to do everything. I mean,
yes.
She does not have the stamina to get up and even do laundry. Okay?
Yeah.
She's going home after lunch to do laundry.
Yeah. And remember Richie, too.
It's hard on him. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Remember them, for sure. Amen.
Let's remember Joy and Frank. It was good to see them here this morning.
Yes.
And Kaylin, is your procedure?
My procedure is next Tuesday, not this coming, not this week after.
Amen. Good to see Joy and Frank here this morning. And remember, Kay has a procedure coming up. Amen.
remember Steve and Lori's daughter? She's in the Air Force, the Kaya astronaut.
Yes.
She's leaving. Well, she was here that yesterday, and she got to fly back to Texas, and then they're going to fly her out there to Germany for 3 years. So remember her and the family there. I think Steve and Lori's going to go over and see her. But anyway, let's remember her. She's a good kid.
Remember Steve and Lori Eschenier's daughter. What's her name?
Micaiah.
She joined the Air Force, and she sounds like she's getting ready to go to Germany for 3 years.
She's through her training all
Amen.
Up in 10 months or whatever.
Yeah.
The worst is over.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Timmy, that young lady
yes.
at camp that got saved.
Yes.
Her name is Sage.
Sage.
She has a lot going on in her life. Family's life and some issues personally that most people will never deal with, but she wants to do the right thing, she feels the right way, and I've talked to her about God helping her do the right thing and make the right choices, but she's talking a very mature talk about a very sensitive situation in her life that she knows is wrong, and it's going to affect her more when school starts. So she really needs our prayers, as well as all the other kids, because school starts in about a week. We can all count in about two for Jack.
Amen. Remember Sage that just got saved at the camp. She's dealing with a lot of personal stuff.
Yeah.
And also remember the kids as they start school. Amen. Amen. The altar's open. If there's no other prayer requests, do we have any unspoken requests?
Remember the college kids, too. They go back.
And the college kids. Absolutely. That's you, Grace.
Remember, East County in the Philippines, that was the first region of the country, the world. Continue to remember her. She's over doing missionary work.
What's her name?
Cammie Hypes.
Cammie Hypes. Remember Cammie Hypes and her missionary work. The altar's open. Pray until you reach the throne. Just pray until you're done. Please remember each prayer request. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow before your throne of grace again, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Dear Lord, you've been here. Dear Heavenly Father, we've felt the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this service. Dear Lord, thank you for these prayer requests. The young lady that's in the mission field, Jimmy, requested. Dear Lord, his wife had a prayer request. Just got saved. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with her. Lord,
Bless them, Lord.
She's got a neighbor.
Bless you, buddy. What's her name, Jim? What's her name?
Randy Good.
Randy?
Randy.
Brandy Good.
Remember her?
Brandy Good.
And also, the brother of Tammy Heights, Matthew Heights, he's an ex-Marine. He's got whatever from being over there. And they're not doing the best. Him and his wife, they got four youngs. Her mom and dad live out of state, so the devil knows where the weak points are, and just a special prayer for them, and of course for the youngest. And God can work it out.
Yes, He can. Matthew Hypes' family. Yeah. Is that right? Did I say it
Matthew
right?
Matthew Hypes and Brandy Good.
Brandy Good.
And her dad's still there, brother.
Amen. Good. Remember those families.
It's tough. We just don't
sure.
know.
Amen. Bless him, Lord. Amen. Bless you, Dana. Bless him good, Lord.
You know, go ahead and turn to page 55, but song everybody knows. But I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm going to tell you a little something this morning. I was out on the parking lot duty. And Brother John back there come walking up. And you ever been around somebody, you just met them not too long ago, not been around very long, but you just learn just love them real good, real fast. But he's one of them fellows. And he said the devil been after him this morning pretty hard. I said, well. But we had a good talk. I enjoyed my talk we had with him. He said the devil been pretty hard on him this morning. I said, well, there's one thing good about that. Maybe, I don't know the exact words I said, but there's one thing could be good. When he's after you, he ain't got you.
Right.
And but when he quits being after you, that means he's got you. So, John, I believe the devil's, I don't know, maybe he got on, I kind of let him bother me a little bit, seeing him. Maybe he'd switch from you, come over to me. Number 55.
Stand as you would say, shake hands.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the rains on earth shall gather up on the other side, and the rolling call of yonder, I'll be there. Oh,
I didn't finish my testimony. I get up here and get started, and but I was thinking this morning when I was out there, and more was listening, the better I was starting to feel. Then when the girls played during when they was taking up the offering, it just sounded real good. Nobody singing, just the music was going. And then when the choir took off, it's all I could do just keep them coming through the doors, but I didn't. I stayed out there on my duty. But it was good. Lord can be out there to Steve. He can be in here. It don't matter where we're at. If we want him, he'll be right with us. I'll shut up.
Bless your heart.
Amen. Audrey, you come on. Bless you. I bet you did, buddy. That's awesome.
Been to church 3 times with the kids.
Yeah.
And we had church service at the fire Friday night, and church service at the fire Saturday night, and church service in the chapel this morning, and it was all good. It was
Amen.
All sitting there watching them go pray and praying with them and listening to them talk. You know, they don't talk much here, mm-hmm. but you get them in a service around just each other, and they tend to open up a little bit more.
Sure.
And it's, you hear some good stuff, and we were in the middle of a game, actually. We were playing Capture the Flag when Sage came up to me and said, can I talk to you afterwards? And I said, sure. You want to talk now? She said, no, we'll do it after. A little bit later, Layla came up to me and said, my friend wants to get saved. Let's talk to you. I said, so I kind of put it together. I said, well, you go find her, and we'll have a talk. So we found her, and we had that talk. And it's just, to me, it's just a wonderful place to be when it's a bunch of kids. And they're singing together, and they're praising the Lord. You know, and I have them shut their eyes. They'll be in a circle, and they'll be singing, and I'll have them shut their eyes so they can't see each other. And I just turn around, and I look at, just turn a circle, and I look at all of them. And some of them are smiling real big, and some of them are crying. Some of them are waving their hands, and that there's nothing more beautiful to me than those kids just in the middle of God. And God in the middle of those kids. But this is a great way. Now, I was tired. Susie said, are you tired? I said, I'll be tired when I get home. You know, Friday night, we go to bed at 2. I was up at 3. And I was up again at 4. A little bit after 4, they were still up. So, you know, not a lot of sleep. But you go on just good feelings. If we could just have that all the time, it'd be great. I'm glad that God is out there. And I'm glad that God is in here.
Yeah.
I'm glad that God is everywhere I go. And I can't get away from him. Not that I want to, but I can't get away from him. That's what David said. No matter where I go, he's there.
Right.
If you try to hide, you can't do it because he's there. And it's good to know that that God, who's that big and that loving and that moving and that caring, is there. Wherever there is, he's there.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I got to be a part of that this weekend. I'm glad I get to be a part of this tonight because Kip and I are talking after. If you weren't there, you missed a good one. And tonight, I didn't miss a good one. I'm here. And I'm glad of that. I'm just glad to be saved.
Amen. Bless your heart.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Anybody else?
Bless your
heart. I need your prayers. I am so nervous.
Bless you.
I haven't done much singing since Lowe passed away. And it's really hard for me to sing. But Chris asked me to sing tonight. And I said, Lord, I'll do my best. And when we do our best, that's all we can do. So I just ask you all to really pray for me. I'm really struggling with Lowe's death. I really am. I just really am. But I know God's there, and he helps me every day. But it's just something I've got to work through. But I sure do need all your prayers.
Bless you, Audrey.
All right, go ahead.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Audrey.
Struggle, straining to see his
wind at work in me. In the middle of confusion, my doubts and delusion, I wonder if God is even listening. But when He speaks, I know His voice. When He speaks, my soul does rejoice. When He speaks, my heart knows no situation and present complication. I look for a safe place to run and hide. But when He speaks, I know His voice. When He speaks, my soul does rejoice. When He speaks, my heart knows no fear. Oh, the peace when He speaks. When He speaks, I know His voice. When He speaks, my soul does rejoice. When He speaks, my heart knows no fear of the peace when He speaks.
Bless your
heart. Anybody's got a test. Anybody has a testimony, feel free. Reached the end of life's journey, but he'd been holding to God's hand a long, long time. And as I knelt beside his bed, my heart was thrilled at what he said. If I go or if I stay, the victory is mine. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. None of us really knows about tomorrow. We must prepare to go to heaven any day. But while we're here, let's trust the Lord. He'll lead us safe to our reward. And by His grace, we'll be a winner either way. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I still have my Jesus in passing day. I'll have my healing here below, or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, or life forever if I go. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way.
Oh, praise the Lord,
I'm a winner either way.
Amen.
This next song I'm going to sing, it's my testimony. And I'm sure it's a lot of your all's testimony, especially for someone that's lost a loved one. Tears will never stain the streets of that city. And you know, when we get up there, there ain't going to be no more death. No more crying. No more cancer. No more sin. No more shootings. You know, I don't even listen to the news, because what's the use to listen to that stuff? God's in control. You know, it's going to be the way he says, and I'm thankful that he's in control. So just pray for me.
Tears will never stain the streets of
Amen. Junior, Aaron, you ready? Junior, you stand, and would you please pray for Aaron as he brings us the message?
God, as we come to you this evening, Lord, we come to you this thank you for allowing us to be able to hear one more time, God, on this side of eternity. And God, as we're getting ready to hear the most precious thing we've ever heard in our life, and that's the Word of God, the true
Amen.
Word of God. God, it's the Word of God is what set me free. And I sure thank you for it. Tonight, as our brother gets ready to come, we pray that God, for that special anointing, the same anointing that run down Aaron's beard, we pray that for Brother Aaron today. Pray, Lord, to just lift him up. God, we thank you, Lord. I'm glad I've got here to hear what thus saith the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that God, you give me what I need to hear, and I know that you will. God, for the church, you know the need that's in the church tonight. We pray, Lord, that God, you just pour it on Aaron tonight, God, that he could pour it out to us, God. And Lord, I want to be like a sponge tonight. I just want to soak it up. Pray, Lord, your will be done in this congregation. We lift you up and give you praise for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Junior. Bless your heart.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Hearts free, you mind the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Micah.
Book of Micah, chapter 6.
Micah is right after Jonah in the Old Testament, and one of the minor prophets. How many's glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
You think of the places you could be.
Right.
And I don't know of any better place than to be in the house of the Lord. I was going to share with you where I went yesterday. I started my day. I picked up my dad and we went to a birthday celebration. And it was my cousin. And she turned 90 years old. And I was talking to her. I said, "Is this your first birthday?" And she's kind of witty and everything. She said, "No, it's my second one." She actually had one when she was 6 years old. But this was her second birthday party. So, you know, we think of birth as the beginning. We think of that as the start of life. And so I left there and I went to the nursing home. And in the nursing home, in the Hubbard house, is when you see death creeping in. And we went to see my aunt, who is 94 years old. Always a very pretty lady and just very active, but her time's getting close. So I left the nursing home and I went to a funeral. So yesterday I completed the cycle of life. Birth, sickness, nursing home, and then death. And also, last week I had sort of a rough week at work, and then I left work and I had to go stop at the post office, and then I had to go to UPS, drop something off, and you know, a lot of times when things don't go like you plan, you kind of start, as John said, you start putting moaning in your testimony.
Yeah.
You put the moaning there, and I'm thinking, Lord, why? And then I get to the post office, and there's one car there, and a fellow's sitting in it, and he's got one of those, what are they called, the motorized chair on the back, hovercraft or whatever, I guess could be different. Hover what?
Hover around.
And so when I got out of my car, I looked at him. He just smiled and waved. And I thought, you know, and then I watched him. He got out his crutches because he was just going a few feet to go into there and he wasn't going to unhook everything. So, and I watched him as he struggled to get out of the car. You know, you all were talking this morning about the clouds and how God showed you things. You know, God showed me something right there on that parking lot. You know, my worries are insufficient and not even worthy to be worried about. How's that? Not even worthy to be worried about. So I pull out on the road and I'm going down the road and I look up above me and there's a fellow in a wheelchair crossing the road. And he's moving really slow. So I just stopped and let him cross in front of me. And when I got to looking at him, he didn't have any legs. And I thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've shown me here today. And he'll show you if you just let him. He'll show you. You say it may not, that wasn't real pleasant what you saw, but it made me thankful. And it made me stop complaining and worrying because he's in control. In the sixth chapter of the book of Micah, today we had an anniversary of a couple, and their names are Jimmy and Micah. Jimmy, stand up. Where's Micah? She didn't make it. See, she's wore down from this anniversary. He just, how many years has it been? 12 years. So she's had a rough battle for 12 years. So let's keep her in our prayers. But the thing of it is, I was talking to her out on the parking lot, and I wished her a happy anniversary. And then she went on to say, tomorrow's my birthday. So she's had both here, right? So I told her, I said, well, I'm going to speak from the book of Micah tonight, just in your honor. So, but I thought about this chapter in this book, and Micah is kind of an abbreviation, and it's a Micaiah, or Micaiah, however you want to say it. But it's kind of the abbreviation. It's Micah. And I thought about it, and I looked up the meaning of it, and this is what it says. Who is like Yahweh? Yeah. Who is like God? They referred to him as Yahweh, and I thought of who is like God. And I thought, and then I began to think about Antioch. Anybody know what happened in Antioch? Huh? That's where they were first called Christians. And what does Christian mean? Christ-like. Who is like Christ? This is who is like God. In the Old Testament, of course, they've heard of Christ as the Messiah to come. This same prophet had actually heard of him. You go back to chapter 5 and verse 2, and he tells you where he was going to be born. About 700 years before he even knew him, he knew him. And he said, but thou Bethlehem, in the second verse of chapter 5, he says, thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou art little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. You know how long Christ has been around? You say he was born in Bethlehem. He became a man in Bethlehem. But he was from the old and everlasting. He was from the beginning. He was from there when God said, let us make man. Who was he talking about? He was right there with him. And so who is like God? And today, who is like Christ? You know, I think there are a lot of things in our lives that we can strive for. You know, we can strive for wealth. We can strive for power. We can strive to have fame. But the greatest thing we can strive for is to be like Christ. Can you imagine being like Christ? And we should be. But sometimes we fail. But I want to read this 8th verse. And I won't keep you long, Lord willing. I just want to touch on 3 things here. And I thought, you know, here it is. It's the 8th century. He come out of Morseth. And some say it's Morseth Gate. But here he is. That is a little town that's 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Out of the tribe of Judah. Oh, does that ring a bell? Out of the tribe of Judah. Who else came out of the tribe of Judah? So, you see, he was looking. God was revealing this to him that, you know, Christ was going to come out of the tribe of Judah, come out of Bethlehem. And I like Jimmy's message this morning when he was talking about that, is it an antidote or an antiserum? Anti-venom. And he went through, those of you that weren't here, he went through what it took, how long it took to make that, how many snakes they had to get, and everything else to do that. But then the end of the process was, it was injected into an animal, and in most cases that animal was a lamb. And then the blood had to be purified. And I thought, wow, our lamb's blood didn't have to be purified. He was pure from the beginning. Some say he was a man. How could his man, how could he be, have pure blood? Man didn't have a thing to do with his conception. The Holy Spirit came. God gave the blood. And the blood was pure. I'm so thankful for that. Nobody else could have done that. But I thought of Micah, and he was told to go to Judah. A lot of his message was about Judah. But he also went to Israel and told them some things that they needed done. But I thought of, in the first part of this, it says, mine says it's God's first indictment. What is an indictment? Huh? It's a legal accusation. It's a legal thing that you've been indicted for some type of crime. And I thought, what kind of crime did Israel or did Judah get indicted for? And so many times as we read the scriptures, they were guilty of adultery. You say, what's adultery? I'm talking about spiritual adultery. They were God's people. They were guilty of, you know, they knew God, and God had done a lot for them up to this point. But here was their reply. It begins in verse 6 of what God had, you know, he told them, you know, you're not where you should be. It says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and behold bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body from the sin of my soul? Now, does that sound like a confession to you? It sounds like a, I don't know, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now? And I thought, you know, of the offerings and the burnt offerings, and you know, they were willing to do the sacrifices. But what does Isaiah tell us that's better than sacrificing?
Obedience.
Obedience. That's all God wants from us. He wants us to obey Him. When He asks us to do something, He wants us to obey Him. Now look in verse 8. And again, I said I won't keep you long, Lord willing. But he says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good." And I thought several testimonies tonight talked about that. Isn't God good? Isn't He good? When is He good? All the time. We can go to Him anytime, all the time. And I thought, you know, we have friends we think are good friends, but are they going to be there always? Not always. You call the Lord in the middle of the night, He's right there. So He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What had He showed Israel that was good? What was the first thing He did for him? He got him a leader, and his name was who?
Moses.
And what was Moses going to do? Deliver him out of bondage and take him where? To the promised land. Who does that sound like?
Amen.
Sounds like Christ, don't it? He delivered us out of the bondage of sin. And what's our next goal? The promised land. They said that particular promised land was filled with milk and honey. It was flowing with big vines of grapes. And we, as we look back over it, we know that they were afraid to go, weren't they? Who were they putting their trust in? Man. They were putting a trust in themselves. And they went to the land, and the land was full of giants. So they said, "We can't do it." But I thought of the reward that Joshua and Caleb got. You know, of all the children of Israel that left Egypt, only those under the age of 20 made it in. Except Joshua and Caleb. They remained faithful. They stayed with God and they said, "Let's go, let's do it now." And I thought, 40 years they wasted. We say they wandered in the wilderness. They wasted in the wilderness. Because God was ready to take them right on in. But they wouldn't put their trust in God. So God had showed them that deliverance. It was good. And then when they get into the desert, what takes place? What kind of moanings were they given? They were moaning about everything. They were hungry. They wanted water. But God was there and God supplied.
Amen.
And then they complained about that. And God supplied them quail, meat. 40 years He fed them. Didn't have to do a thing but get up and go out in the morning and get it. But God is good. God is good all the time. Oh man, what is good? And what doth the Lord require of thee? What does God require of us? What does it say so often in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, Proverbs? Keep my what?
Commandments.
Keep my commandments. How many? There's 10. He gave them 10. Were those 10 good enough to guide man through the rest of their lives? Yes. What's man wanting to do today with the 10 commandments? Take them down. Take them out. Get rid of them. You know, Jimmy mentioned this morning, people don't like to hear things that make them feel guilty or feel bad. They want to get rid of them so that they don't have to look at them. But that's when you see somebody who petitions or protests that want to take down the 10 commandments, you can be sure they don't know the Lord. You can be positive they don't know the Lord. Because God has showed us those commandments are good. And they will lead us. And he gave them to them in the wilderness. He gave them to Moses in the wilderness for their direction. And they're good. They're good. God gave us the law. And it was good, but man couldn't live by it. I'm not going to ask you a question. I am going to ask you a question. How many in here obey the speed limit law? All the time. Once in a while. If the traffic's backed up, maybe you You have to go the speed limit. But I thought, you know, what happens to the laws of our land? They change how often. Speed limit out here used to be what? 55. Then they changed it to 65. Then they changed it to 70. And they're talking about changing it to 75. So it's hard to hit a moving target. So I know God's going to forgive you for not obeying the speed limit. Especially if you're trying to get to church on time. I thought, would God be upset if we broke the speed limit trying to get to church? And several years ago, I was helping out another church. And I was driving out the interstate, and the class leader passed me. And I was going pretty good speed. I wasn't, you know, way up there, but he went past me. And I just spoke to him about obeying the laws of the land. And when he realized it was me, I saw those lights come on. You know, his brake lights come on. He slowed her down. But I'm not a law official. I don't tell that. But even the law was good. Some people say let's not study the Old Testament. I love to study the Old Testament. You know what the Old Testament's doing? It's pointing to the Messiah. It's pointing to Christ. And anything that points to Christ, it's good. It's good. Anything that God gives us, it's good. It's good for all of us. And he goes on and he says, what doth the Lord require of thee? But there's three things he's written down here. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Pretty simple, isn't it? Just to walk, to do justly. What is justice? Some people say it's just getting what you deserve. How many in here really would like to have justice for what you've done in your life? You think about that, you say, man, but you know, justice is good too. Especially if they get it right. You know, there are men in prison today who are there because they were unjustly convicted. There are people who are walking the streets today that should be there that were set free for some technicality. But here we're talking about the justice of God. What about the justice of God? It is what? It is good. It is correct. It is right all the time. And that's all he wants us to do. And we learn to know what God wants in our lives. And he wants to give us good things of justice. He wants to set us free. We probably don't deserve that. I take that back. We know we do not deserve justice. But because of what was going to take place down through time, he showed Micah that I want to show you something good before he gets here. I want to show you where he's going to be born. And he told us he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Was Christ coming to the earth good? You better believe it. If he hadn't come, we wouldn't be here tonight. But here he is. He wants us to recognize, and he wants us to be like his justice. That's always doing what is right. What do we call that now in the New Testament? Well, it was here in the Old Testament too. What is doing what's right? Is being what? Righteous. Being righteous. Can we be righteous? only through the pure blood that Jimmy talked about this morning. Only through the pure blood of Jesus Christ can we be made righteous. So justice is something that it's an order that God seeks. I'll read you what I wrote down here. It's an order that God seeks to reestablish in His creation where all people receive the benefit of life with Him. I'll read that again. It's the order that God seeks. God wants man to live right. He wants him to live and obey what He wants him to do. But He wants to reestablish in His creation where all people receive the benefits of life with Him. What did Christ say when He came? I came for one reason. What was that? Seeking to save those which were lost. And what does that do for man? It gives him life. It gives him undeserving life. It gives him eternal life. And it's through and by Christ that... So God's justice all through time is He just wants man and Him to be reunited. And Jesus Christ did that when He hung on the cross. He was the go-between. He was the one who gave His life that we could be reunited to God. And the next one is mercy. Everybody knows what mercy is, don't you? Well, maybe you don't. What is it? Not getting what we deserve. How many in here have received mercy? If you've received Christ, you're getting mercy. Because that's not what you deserve. How many in here have ever showed mercy? Have you ever done something for somebody that you felt like probably didn't deserve it, but you did it anyway? You went out and you... I shared this before one time, but I grew up on the other side of Wolf Pen. And I could write a book on the things that I've seen coming through Wolf Pen. But one night I came through there, and beside the road was a drunk boy. He was probably 20, maybe 18 or 20. I was about 9 years old, and my dad stopped. We were coming home from church, and my dad stopped, and I was a little concerned about him stopping, because you never know what condition they're going to be in. So we got him loaded, and somebody was standing there on the porch of a house, and they knew who he was, and yet they didn't come to give him any help. They knew who he was. So we asked him, where does he live? And they told us where he lived. And again, like I said, I wasn't very old, but they loaded him in the back seat with me. And I thought, what am I going to do with him now? I didn't realize it at that time, but I preached to him Jesus Christ as a 9-year-old. I told him if he'd give his life to the Lord, he wouldn't be laying beside the road here. And give up the drinking he's been doing. But I thought, you know, we go back to the Good Samaritan. You know, who was it that passed on the other side? The priest, the leader of the church, and the Levite, also a worker in the church who took care of the church. They passed to the other side. Now, I'm not telling you stop out there and pick up everybody laying by the road, but you need to try to get them some help somehow. I thought, you know, we got to make good decisions on what we do. If you're alone, it's probably best you not stop. If you got cell phones now, you can call the state police. And you can sit there and keep him from getting hit or whatever. But, you know, there are things you can do to rescue somebody's life. But I thought, you know, God has shown me what's good. in my life, He's shown me where I needed to go and where I needed to be. He opened doors that, probably wouldn't have been open had He not come along. And He spared my life probably many times when I didn't have a clue what danger was there. But He showed me mercy. So He wants us as Christians to love mercy. If you love mercy, what are you going to do with it? You're going to pass it on. You're going to share it with somebody else. And that's what we need to be doing, is to be like Christ. Did Christ ever pass anybody that was down out on long road? I mean, He went to a funeral. What did He do at that funeral? He busted it up, didn't He? He just said, okay, bring him here. And He arose and went home with his mom. And I thought, that's what God wants us to do, is to have that type of compassion. There was a man on the road that was blind. Old blind Barnabas, sit on the road. And they told him, be quiet. Jesus is passing by. And what did he do? He cried the louder. And Jesus stopped. That's the kind of mercy He wants us to share with others. Is when somebody's in trouble, when somebody's in need, help them. Help them. And that's what He's telling them here. You need to love mercy, because He showed mercy to you. We need to show mercy to others. And He says to walk humbly with our God. What does it mean to be humble? He says walk humbly. It means to be humble. The personal quality, listen to this. The personal quality of being free from arrogance and pride, and having an accurate estimate of one's worth. Have you ever sat down and thought, what am I worth? You know, there are people out there that think they're worth a whole lot. They're arrogant and they're cocky, and I thought, you know, those people I don't care to be around. But somebody that's humble and somebody that's meek and lowly heart, who does that remind you of? Jesus Christ. He was meek and lowly to the point He gave Himself as a sacrifice for us. So we need to do justly. We need to do justly to those that are around about us. I don't mean you need to be their judge. I mean you need to open up your heart of mercy, of justice as God would present it to you. Because we deserve justice. But God wants to restore His benefits to us. Have you ever heard anybody say, serving the Lord really pays? And it goes on to say, and think about the benefits. And what do they say about the benefits? They're out of this world. And they are. One of these days, we'll be receiving those benefits. If we do justly, if we love mercy, and we walk humbly in the sight of God. It's up to us. You know, He doesn't make you serve Him. He doesn't make you to do justly. He doesn't make you to love mercy. But look what good He has shown us. What good He has shown us. You can go through all through the Scriptures and see what good God has done. Now, God is a just God. But God is a loving God. But it also says, I wouldn't want to fall into the hands of a just God unprepared. Unprepared. We need to be prepared. If you're here tonight and you have a need in your life, as we get a song of invitation, or maybe you're here as a Christian and you've just been acting like the world. You ever heard that? Yeah, we're in the world, but what are we not to be? Not of the world. We're in the world. We're out there to help those that have a need. But sometimes we just start blending in and they can't tell a difference between us and the world. Amen. And that's when it's a dangerous situation for everybody, for you and for somebody else because you're not witnessing to them about Jesus Christ. As we stand and as we sing, if you have a need, we encourage you to come right now.
Page number 52.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know, my friend? Have you heard? He loves you, and that He will abide till the end. Who knows your death?
For each of you that came tonight. And I thought of that song right there. First time I sang that song was in 1963. My sister and I had just been saved. My whole family had been saved in revival. And my sister played the piano and I sang. And I don't know what it sounded like, but it came by. But I thought, you know, when she turned, she was 12 years old at that time. I was 9, you know, when she turned 39, she had a major tumor on her brain, and she never played the piano again after that. And she's done going on to meet the Lord, but I have, as I told you last time, I have that hope.
Amen.
We'll be together again. Those of you that have lost loved ones, I know what you're going through. And I'm thankful that God is good. And He's brought us through those, Audrey. Audrey's brought us through a lot of them. And He'll continue to take us through because God is good. And He wants that justice, mercy. And He wants us to share that with others. And again, I'm thankful for each of you that have come tonight. Anyone have anything in closing before we're dismissed? Brandon, you dismiss us in a word of prayer. Please pray for the offering.